I like that dark blue. And David Benter is so serious, he went back just before she had a change. David, that's quite serious. And Sam Clark thinks he's supposed to wear a white shirt for Shirkali. I don't know where he got that from. You know, Sammy and Joey somehow got a memo. You're supposed to wear a picture for sure, Coley. Guys, get the memo. Let's go. Okay. So we are going to look at a pretty important topic, the issue of adding and subtracting to mitzvot. So it usually pays to start, to start with the psukim. And there's two sets of psukim. You'll just notice, I'm not going to focus on this so much, but you'll all get a subtle difference between them. So in Dvarim Perek Daled Pasuk Bet, you have the following pasuk. Lo tosifu al hadavar shenochem mitzavetchem v'lo tigru'u mimenu v'chulei. So you have lo tosifu v'lo tigru'u. Then you have a pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel of Dvarim, which says Yud Gimel Aleph et hadavar shenochem mitzavetchem oto tishru lasot lo tosifu lav v'lo tigru'u mimenu. So it seems like the same prohibition reiterated. What was the subtle or not so subtle difference between the two? I guess I read them both again. The first one said, Lo tosifu lav v'lo tigru'u mimenu. And this one says, Lo tosifu lav v'lo tigru'u mimenu. Ah, there you go. Eli Jarosh, I was waiting for like a Hebrew moment there. Now is your chance. Okay, very good, Eitan Kaver. Okay, so one is reflected in the plural, right? It was you, what was it? Oh, Elon Brody. Elon Brody is always the hidden Hebraist. I think in Irvine, California, they did not do very much Tar Shabbat Peh, but they did a bit of Hebrew. Okay, so is that true? Hey, Elon? Okay. So one is in the plural, one's in the singular, right? The collective should not add or subtract from its vote, or the individual should not add or subtract from its vote. So you could say, don't make such a big deal out of it, don't be so pedantic, but maybe it really are two different things being addressed here. And we'll hold this off in abeyance for now, but let's just think, is there a reason why one would be in the collective, one would be in the plural? The only other thing I'll add is that these are just words you should know throughout Hebrew in general. Let's do both of them for a second. It'll get you through through modern Israel. You ask an Israeli, how do you like the movie? He says, Ma'od Garua. What's Ma'od Garua? It was really bad, because Garua is something that's diminished, something that's subtracted. If in your business there is a giraon, what are you running?
A lot of business.
You are running a deficit, right? A giraon is a deficit. Okay, so that's the same word. What? Conversely. Oh, where's Jake Steelman? Jake Steelman, by the way, has changed his diet. He's renounced pizza. I don't know if you noticed this. But yeah, I have not seen him with a pizza in about a month. Okay, maybe he just does it when I'm not looking. But when you go to the pizza store and they say, do you want tosafot? What do they want to know?
Topping.
Yeah, why are tosafot toppings? Because they're the additional component, right? So lohosif is something additional, and gimel resh ayin is to subtract. Okay, we're good? Okay, so now we have two mitzvot. A mitzvah not to add to mitzvot, and a mitzvah not to subtract from mitzvot. I think it's always good in the world of logic sometimes to figure out what is a little bit easier to understand and what's more problematic. So if you had to analyze those two mitzvot guys, which one do you think needs a bit more work to understand? Which one is pretty obvious? Which one needs more work? Yeah.
Subtracting is more difficult.
Good. Why? You're absolutely right, Zach. Why is it?
It's hard to say exactly what's the kiyum of the mitzvah and what...
Okay, excellent.
Where exactly...
Zach Magaman, excellent. Let us look at the Klei Yakar. Let's look at the Klei Yakar. What?
Are you the other one?
Sure.
I feel like in terms of what we like just gonna go tomorrow, like you said, a lot of mitzvot baseline in like the rights of law is like are pretty basic, and we expand them to the point where I don't know how it doesn't fall in.
Okay, so very good. So David Benter would like to know, so we'll come back to, well, the rabbis certainly seem to make a lot of takanot, a lot of gzeirot. So why are they not violating baltosif every time? We'll come back to that in a second, okay? I just want to focus on your point for a minute. Okay, Eitan Popper.
Can you also say,
what was your first word?
Okay,
good. So obviously this touches on David's point also. When should we view an addition as somehow an added enhancement, the cherry on top? When is it somehow a distortion, right? A contortion of the mitzvah? How do you with this season? Okay, Josh?
Maybe I've heard this before, but you could also argue that the car or what's going on here is like
All right, we'll get there in a minute. Okay, I'm going to go to the Klei Yakar. Klei is an interesting achron, only found in Mekor Gedolo, not in the Torah Chaim. But luckily, everybody's on the Bar Ilan. Okay, so let's go to the Klei Yakar. So Klei Yakar says very much similar to Zach Magman. Bishloma, I understand, Lotosifu, that's easy. Kamar, Kisalka Daitech, I would have thought, Baltos is not a problem. Why? She yesh bechlal matayim maneh. What would that mean? That's a good phrase. Yesh bechlal matayim maneh. Well, included in every $200 is what? $100. You might think, okay, so Baal Tosef, I add a fifth min to the Arbaminim, I put a quince in there, but I still got the Lulav Etruk, etc. So that, you need the Torah to come and prohibit. There's a need for this Isur. Okay. Avalo Tigru Lamali. Then the guy says, question is, what he says, I don't need an Isur called Lo Tigra. Guys, why don't I need an Isur called Baal Tigra? Yeah. Let's say I decide I don't like Etrogim. You know, I have some psychological thing block against Etrogim. I'm only taking 3 out of 4 every year. So, do I need a new Isser for that? No, because what's already true? I'm already negating the mitzvah I'm supposed to perform. So, I'm already in the black. I'm already in a problematic area. Anytime I do Lo Tigra, I shouldn't need an Isser because it's already a problem that I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah. Everything I say is basically is Baal Tosef I need. In Baal Tosef, I could have thought, I did the mitzvah, so I added something extra. But why would that negate things? Why would that ruin things? But every case of Baal Tigra, arguably, is already problematic. What in the world does Baal Tigra add? Okay? Yeah, Gavi.
In the case, like, let's say, like, the Dalamidim, like, you only add 3 minim,
okay, look, that's a very good question. But I will say one thing, guys. If you're going to be purely technically halakhic about this, some of you might discuss this in a little bit, because I know my shir did a little bit. When I take 75% of the minim, how much of the mitzvah have I done?
Zero.
Remember my baseball analogy? It's like hitting 75% of a home run. That's just a fly out to short center, right? It's nothing, right? There's no such thing as 75% of a home run. Okay, so there's no such thing as 75% of the Arba Minim. Now, I'm sorry?
It's a joke.
Okay, now there is a question, which is, in such a case, should I take like a Pasul Etrog just kind of to keep the Zeichel Mitzvah going? So besides Maishu, did any of you guys get to that part of Luluf HaGazel? It's very interesting, so yeah. No, nobody else? See, guys, we only serious here this year. Okay, so, what? Oh, remember B'shat HaChak? I'm sorry, Dan Aaron Levitt. Okay, and then the Gemara says, right, Ein Shat HaChak Raya. I'll tell you where it came up, guys. We're discussing whether you could use a dried out lulav or a dried out etrog. And there was this one town where they would bequeath their lulavim to the next generation. Remember that? Presumably those were quite dried out. And then the Gemara says in some time, wait, Ein Shat HaChak Raya? But that's a very interesting question. If Ein Shat HaChak Raya, so what if it's shot of chak? If it's possible, it's possible. So I hope you guys did a great machlokas there. Does shot of chak somehow render it kosher? Or does shot of chak say, it's not kosher, but we want every Jew to remember that you take Arba Minim. Guys, if you never learned it, look it up on the Rambam right there, you'll have a great time. Very interesting question. Okay, but Gavi, inherently though, 70% of the mitzvah there is zero. Okay, great. So let us go back to the Klei Yakar. See, what's he trying to figure out again, guys? What is added by the prohibition of Baal Tigra? I know, I kept debating if I should make a pun about it or not. Okay, but I was resisting because it wasn't as funny as my oncology joke. Okay, here we go.
Aren't those off the table now?
I'm still debating it. I haven't been put to the test yet because I haven't thought of another one since. Okay. Uvechibureinu olot Ephraim, mamar shin pehe, pirashnu, shalu tigru, Josh Shabir, this is you. Eino tzivoy elepe rusho. Kach perush lo tosifu vaz meme lo tigru. So it's pretty remarkable. He says we've been misreading the pasuk the entire time. He's so convinced by this question. How many prohibitions are there in the pasuk according to the Klei Yakar?
One.
What's the one prohibition? So what if I say the Torah says lo tosifu lo tigra? What's the second clause doing? It's the explanation. Right, many of you heard this before. That once you put yourself in charge, well, if I'm in charge of adding, I could also be in charge of subtracting. But I find fascinating, though, all of a sudden the second part of the pasuk converts from being independent prohibition to being the rationale for the first prohibition. Right? So it's very interesting. So Klei Yakar is so convinced by the question, you don't really need a prohibition called Baal Tigra. You already have a problem without Baal Tigra. Baal Tigra is not a prohibition, it's just the explanation of Baal Tosef. There you go, Josh Shapiro. Yeah, David. Look, you're saying there's an unusual reading of the pasuk.
I feel like
I admit it's unusual reading.
Does this then need to be
No, I don't think so. But I will just say one thing to defend the Klei Yakar. Some of you have discussed the issue of Tami HaMitzvot with me in the past. It's not true that Chumash has no Tami Mitzvot. I think if we thought about it a little bit, we discovered there are many Mitzvot where the Torah actually itself offers a rationale. Just off the bat, guys, can we think of a couple? Shomer Nagi is not, probably not the right
term.
No, but that's not a rationale. Why is that a rationale?
That's the Rambam, right?
But maybe my question's not clear. Where the Torah says both the prohibition and gives a rationale for it. Okay, excellent. If you ask why do we wear tzitzit, now you could debate how it works out, but the essential rationale is said right there. It is some kind of memory device about the world of mitzvot. So if you think tzitzit is something else, that's not what Kumar says, right? You have a rationale right there. Yeah. Yield, though, the context where it says it there might not be the mitzvah context, so I'm not sure. Okay, but put it this way, how about sukkahs? Is it a mitzvah why we're supposed to sit in a sukkah? Now, what does the Torah say? And remember the psukim? Laman yedu dor techem ki besukot oshap di b'nei Yisrael. So, David, I admit it's not the standard form here, but it's not unheard of that the Torah will give rationales for mitzvah. That's something we have. Maybe this little tikkun is a rationale. I'm sorry? With carbon Pesach or?
Yeah, I guess carbon.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's go to another possibility though. Okay, let's go to this Sforno, just to have the other side. Someone thinks the Baal Tigra isn't in the Lenin Mitzvah. Says this Sforno, V'lo Tigru Menu Lishmar, V'lo Yachshov HaChoshev, a thinker should not think, Kashor Tisor Sibata Isur Etzlacha. When, what would that mean, guys? Tisor Sibata Isur? When the reason is removed, Lo Yachet Legroa. So it's funny to do something a little clever here, right? Because, again, our point is, obviously, Baal Tigra. But what is he looking for? Maybe the case where Baal Tigra is not so obvious. What would be a good example? If you think the rationale once was very convincing, but something changes in society, and now the rationale does not apply to you. Okay, where do we have this in famous... Who's the most famous example of this in Chazal? Shlomo, right? Shlomo thinks the prohibition of having too many wives or too many horses for a king... does not apply to himself, and he ends up messing up. Okay, so just to sum up, we're going to do most of this year on Baal Tosef. We now have two approaches to Baal Tigra. Baal Tigra is an independent Isur, and you have to figure out what it adds. Maybe it adds, even if you think the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore, don't subtract. And then we have the Klei Yakar, who's so convinced, he says it's not an independent Isur. It is just the rationale for Baal Tosef. Okay, let's go to Baal Tosef. Now, I think we think logically for a second, there are many ways we could add to a mitzvah. I'm going to focus on three categories. But let's just think theoretically for a second, guys. What are the ways I could add to a mitzvah? Or add to the world of mitzvah? Already there, I'm kind of cheating. Yeah, Joey.
Could you give like an extra korban or something like that? Like try and add to young, required, or
okay. Yeah, what else?
You can add an entire mitzvah.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay, good. So notice we have a lot of things here about what Baal Tosef could be. And just to give you one split, that's running through all these comments is, am I changing an existing mitzvah? Or am I creating a mitzvah out of whole cloth, from nowhere? Like, am I saying, oh, wouldn't Hanukkah candles be nicer if we also lit a torch right next to it, right? I'm adding some component to a mitzvah that already exists, or I'm lighting twice a night, let's say. After candles go out, I light them again, right? So it's a different mode of adding to a pre-existing mitzvah. Or, no, I just make up a mitzvah. I decide, you know, chubby educators from the Gush should rub their tummy during Shir Klali. Right? Oh, we have a new mitzvah. Great. Is that Baal Tosef? Yes?
Why is the idea of like, something to be more suppressive? Why is that? Because it not fall under Baal Tosef?
Okay, so I'm going to give you an analogy. It's not an exact analogy, but I think you'll agree a case that no one should think is Baal Tosef. Let's say we decide that a minimum sukkah is 2.5 walls, just for the sake of argument. Okay? Minimum sukkah is 2.5 walls. And David Bentor, do you like building? Is that a yes or no? You know, the young Zionists, they're supposed to like working with their hands, right? Okay. Only the shtetl we didn't build, right? Now we build. Okay, so let's say a kosher sukkah has 2.5 walls, or 2 walls in a tefach. David Bentor builds a sukkah with 4 walls. Is there anybody in the room who thinks that's Baal Tosef?
No.
Absolutely not. Why? Because 2.25 was a minimum. It's like that's ke'ilu, you have a full enclosure. So if I fill it out, there's no reason why that's wrong. So I would view a lot of mahadrins as doing that. right? I'm not adding some new to mitzvah. I'm taking the idea and realizing it to its fullest. I'm not saying every modern fits it, but I'm just giving you a model where doing more is not necessarily an addition. Okay? Like if my oil is nicer than your Hanukkah oil, is that an addition? No, it's just, you know, we're both doing the same thing. I'm just doing it in a nicer fashion. Okay, that's a good question. Yeah.
If you say, I know that we normally say 2.5, but I think it needs to be 4. Is that now you're being specific?
We mean, what if we give the false communication? Okay. So I wasn't going to do this, but we'll go out of order for a second, just to make life fun. Evan, go to the Rambam, it's verse 5. Okay, we're now going to go to the third model. And this is a classic Rambam. Really just a classic. Okay. And the Rambam really asked your question, David Bentor. Okay, here we go. Ho'il v'yesh le'beitin l'gzor v'lesar davar mutar. If Beitin has the power to make zerot, right? They prohibited chicken and milk. They prohibited muktzah. V'chein yesh lahatir isuri tor l'fisha. Ma'uzesh is yirat tor lo tosif level to gaminus. What's bal tosif? Right, what could be more bal tosif like? And chicken parmesan and muktzah. Shalol osif al diri tov lulu gomen vilkvoa hadavar loulam bedavar shemina torah bein b'toshata b'toshol pen. Now the language is a bit unclear, but when we see his example, it's going to become absolutely clear. Ketzad, how does this work? Hareka tu b'torah lo tevashel gadiba chalevimo mipia shmu lamdu shezak tu vassar levashev lecho basar b'chalav ben basar b'ma ben basar chaya. Okay, so we assume that gdi is just an example. It relates to a broader category. What's the broader category? Basar behema. Wait. Of a basara oaf, as we all know, chicken. Mutar bechalav in the Torah. There's no biblical prohibition on chicken parmesan. Okay. Im yavo beitin v'yatir basar bechalav, harizeh goreya. V'im yasor basar oaf. Now they want to prohibit basar oaf. Let's take it very slowly, Joey. V'yomar shehu bechalal hagadi. If they do what? If they tell us that gadi includes chicken, harizeh mosif avu amar b'sar of mutar min Torah v'anu nesaroto v'nodia la'am shu gzera. Nodia will inform the people's gzera. That is ein zem mosif. So says the Rambam. This is amazing. I love this Rambam. It's all about presentation. It's all about education. How do you differentiate Baal Tosef and not Baal Tosef? Are you honest in your presentation of the prohibition? As long as the rabbis tell everybody we made up this gzeira for our religious purposes, that's fine. Everyone knows the truth. No one thinks that the Torah has been shifted, that chicken's really part of the prohibition. This is a rabbinic gzeira. But if we do false advertising and we tell people that chicken is part of the biblical prohibition, that is Baal Tosef. This is a famous, and fascinating Rambam. So before you ask questions on the Rambam, guys, notice what just happened. We now have three categories, at least, of Baal Tosef. I could take a mitzvah that exists and alter it. Again, I could add a quince. I could add a tangerine to the Arba Minim. That would be one way. I could do the Josh Shapiro method. I could make up a mitzvah out of nowhere. Oh, there's a 614 mitzvah to do the following. And now we have a third method. I can make Rabbinic Zera, but falsely advertise that it is don't write. According to the Rambam, that's when you violate Baal Tosef. David Bentor.
Just like in terms of things involving kashrus, like outside of, you know, kind of more kashrus, like Jerubana and like Zera, things like that, like chicken, obviously, Jerubana and like his chop, not okay. Things like, for example, Paul Gasol, where it's like debate. So then, for you to say, like,
once again, 1 second. Belge, you get credit for the wine shirt, but a little lack of credit for showing up at 12:28. Where have you been? There you go. All right, poor guy. Okay, yeah, that was it. Hi, where'd you go? Okay, yeah.
I feel like what's the term? I feel like we have to use
it.
For examples
in a social... Wait, we debate Chol Yisrael, but what does it do with the Baal Tosef question?
So
we're debating if the Yisr applies to contemporary America. Why is that a question of Baal Tosef?
I
still don't get it. Meaning, as long as, if you're the Rambam, as long as you tell the truth about it, you've done nothing wrong. Let's say, David Bentor, you're a very machped on glot meat, and Gavi Glickman is not. Makes sense. Are you Sephardi, Doug? No, you're not Sephardi. Okay, who's a Sephardi here? There we go. Joey, Al, we'll go with Al. I bet you only eat halak meat, right, Al? Okay, Sephardi, I'm very serious about glot. So Al's not saying that glatt meat is an Isser Doraita. He's saying, we think, we should be choshes here, but he's not pretending it's an obvious Isser Doraita. There's no false advertising here.
In terms of, like, pretty, so if an organization was out and says, this product is not kosher, so that means that I'll be a lot, but you can't eat this product. But if that product, if they're just saying that because it's not glatt, But
there are
plenty of folks
who say,
get something to be kosher
or not. Okay, guys, ask a version of David Bentor's question that's even sharper. Okay, David Edwards. What?
I wasn't going to answer his question.
No, I think there's a sharper version of his question. Again, what did the Rambam just say? That the Rabbanim have the right to make zero? What should they avoid at all costs? False advertising. Giving the impression that the Rabbanim is the right thing. Everybody should jump up and tell me one way that Chazal do that all the time. Yes, Zach.
This is my question.
Let's go, Zach.
Often we'll say this Derabon has a Kedera, like you treat it as a Kederaita.
Okay, you're really close, but there's one word I was waiting for. Who here has encountered an Asmachta? Okay, excellent. Now, one thing, guys, since a lot of you did, thanks very much, Sean. Okay. Since a lot of you have learned the gambling sugya in high school, you might actually be confused by the other kind of asmachta. Remember that Chazal used asmachta to mean two things? One asmachta is like the gambling scenario. Are you really willing to lose? Do you appreciate that you might lose your money? That's not the question here at all. There's an asmachta when the Rabbanan make up a mitzvah or a gzera, and then they hang it on a pasuk. They do that several times. For example, Kiddush in the day. What status is Kiddush in the day? What kind of mitzvah? It's the Rabbanan, right? Kiddush at night is the Raita. Kiddush in the day is the Rabbanan. That's why we're more stringent about Kiddush at night. But you might open a Gemara Pesachim and lo and behold, what it will say? Ah, Zachar at Yom HaShabbat. What do I learn from there? Make Kiddush in the daytime. But then the Gemara will say, no, it never was a Raita. Mid Rabbanan v'kra asmachta ba'alma. Would you not agree that according to the Rambam, asmachta is the worst thing we could do? Right? Asmachta is taking the Rabbanan, putting it in a pasuk. Sounds like we're packaging it with the right to packaging. So guys, guess what? You'll never guess who asked the question. The Rambam's greatest critic. Let's go to source 6. And now, we have to make fun of Joshua a little bit, guys. Guys, Joshua's a wonderful saver. Here it is. The Mishnah Torah of Rambam. It's the entire Mishnah Torah in one volume, but only Rambam. It is for the real Rambam purists. No Magen Mishnah, no Kesem Mishnah, no Lechem Mishnah, not even the Ravid. So guys, I'm against it. The Rambam is more interesting because he has a critic called the Ravid. It makes life more interesting. How can you have the Rambam without the Ravid? If you want the other side defended, speak to Joshua later. Okay, so let's look at the Ravid for 1 second. Okay, look at source 6, guys. Amrav Ram, Kol Eila Yisaruach, Shekol Dava Shegazrulav, what about all these Gzerot? Vasrul Yisyag, and they made it an offense, Ulumeshmer Shel Torah, Ein Bo Mishum Lo Tosif. Says the rabbi, it's inherently not potusim. Forget packaging. Packaging's irrelevant. I mean, the rabbi simply have a right to make zero. Afilu kavulu dorot. Even if it's a zera, forever. Vasuk shel Torah. Look what he's saying now. Vissamchu l'mikra. Even if they made an asmachta. Kida ashkachan v'kama duchti. What do we find all over Shas? Midrabanan v'kra. Asmachta b'alma. So what is baltosim? So notice, going to baltosim, rabbi, David Bentor's question doesn't even start. The rabbis have a right to make zero. That's not even in the ballpark of Baltosif. What is Baltosif? Look what he says now, guys. Lo timsa iser mosif ella v'mitzvah say. It sounds like, what's the classic Baltosif for the rabbi? I add an object, right? I'm supposed to have 8 drinks of tzitzit, and I decide to have 13. Right? I'm supposed to have 2 and I add something. Right, so it makes a lot of sense. He thinks the category is distorting the mitzvah. And if you think about it, guys, it's much easier to distort the mitzvah with the mitzvah asay than a mitzvah lo tasay, right? So we're going to take comments in 1 second, guys. Let's get what we have down here. The Rambam clearly thinks baltosif is the section of distorting mitzvah. That's why he talks about mitzvah asay. He doesn't think it applies to gzeirut at all. We have our intriguing Rambam that it's when you package a derbana as a deraita. We have the Ravid's killer question. Aren't Chazal doing that every time? There's an asmachta. Okay, now questions or answers? Yes, Simcha.
Can't the Rambam say that that means telling you it's an
asmachta? Excellent. Okay, so there is an easy answer, but sometimes easy answers are not as easy as they think. Okay, so let's take a look over here. Look at the Kesem Mishnah. Simcha is totally on the money here. Okay? Says, you know why Simcha knows that? Because the hidden Gadol Hador, Rabbi Tannenbaum, taught him for a couple of years. That's why he was able to answer that question. Okay, here we go. Let us go to the Kesem Mishnah. V'alo Rabbeinu Eino Omesh Asur. Our rabbi didn't say it was Asur. Ela Kishomim Mishal Shol Torah Mamash. When did they say it's Asur? When you falsely package it. Ela Kishomim Kras Machta Balma. Harheimomim Shemim Shol Torah. So what's the big deal? Right? They'll make us smachtas, but they'll tell us that they're smachtas. And let's get to you for a second, guys. In a certain sense, it was the easiest answer. What, if we did a little research, guys, what would indicate whether this is a good answer again or not a good answer? Yeah, is it actually true that every time they do so, it says it? What if we had some good arguments in various cases where we're convinced it's an smachta, even though the Gemara never tells us so? Wouldn't that make it a little bit more troubling? So again, if Simcha and the Kesem Mishnah are right, obviously the problem falls away. The Rambam would just say, I'm against false advertising, and we always clarify what the reality is. Okay, Abby.
Yeah, never mind. So
it's
in it. Thank
you. Okay, Joey.
I mean, yeah, according to this, like, we shouldn't really have machlokes whether something is the Midrabanan or the Midrashim. It should be more clear.
Excellent, Joey. Yeah. Oh, Joey, I was talking to a guy from Columbia last night. I told him he should hang out with you. Okay, you know Yehuda Dicker was here last year?
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to Columbia next year. I think he switched to yeshiva just so he could not wear socks. That's what I told him last night. Okay. Is that what you're switching to? No? Okay, it's it. Guys, anytime someone switches to gush, it's clear they just want to take their socks off. We'll see. Maybe Ricin and Guttmacher will switch to gush. Yeah.
I have a question. One, is it possible to make it extraneous to Rabbanan?
What's it? What do you mean by extraneous?
Like, is it possible to be over-exclusive in a Rabbanan
lot? Oh. Cute. Not this model. You're right. In this model, you couldn't. Unless, I don't know, actually, I mean, what about the following? What do you think? What if I pretended a minhag was the right there? Would that work? What if I pretended a minhag was the rabbanan? Would that work? That's really interesting, David. It's not just cute, it's very interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like, because they get their power from
each other. No, I understand. It's a clever point. You're saying, if this would be your sole model, it could be that you couldn't do Baal Tosef on a Durabana.
Yeah, but like a lot of Baal Tosef usually can't do Baal Tosef, which seems ridiculous.
Wait, why is it a pillar of our faith you have to be able to do Baal Tosef all the time?
Well, I feel like if the Torah is giving us like a model for creating our laws, and you're just going to say, oh, for it only applies to like this amount, and like...
I still don't see why that's a problem. David, I'm sorry to do this to you, just... Just for a little humor, if you don't mind. You're going to tell me now that these are the Ikri Amunah, right? There's a God, there's providence, and Baal Tosef has to apply to every mitzvah in the Torah. Like, why is that such a crucial principle?
I mean, I think that it's just weird if the Torah is giving us guidelines of this is the way to create and not subtract from laws, and we have a whole field of laws that we are like, yeah, this doesn't apply to it at all.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Joey? No. Joey?
Why do Baal Tosef apply to a statement?
You're asking a question on the Rambam?
Yeah.
Well, isn't the Rambam saying that their advertising is the Baal Tosef?
But then why is that?
Why? Because maybe it's when I actually think very powerful about the Rambam. What value judgment is lurking behind the Rambam here? We should have a very strong sense of the difference between a Deraita and a Derbanan. For example, let's say someone in this room thinks that giving to Rabbanan is mistaken. Maybe that's okay to have that thought. Right? Okay, then humans do the best they can, but they might make a mistake. Maybe it's crucial to have a sense that the right is one thing and the right is a different thing.
But I just don't know why we fall under Baal Tosef. Like, it could just be like rabbis should be doing what they said.
I think maybe you're just caught up in like the old model of what Baal Tosef was. But if you think beyond the old model, you could just interpret Baal Tosef differently.
I'm saying, is the rabbi bringing up the new one? That's like always going to
be. Oh, wait, guys, just realize, guys, this is a huge chiddush. The Talmudic examples are not like Rambam. The Talmudic examples are much more like Ravid in terms of Baal Tosef. Right? Oh, that also came up with Luluf HaGasa, right? Didn't it come up there with my rapping it also with Mrs. Baal Tosef?
Yeah.
Right? Luluf Zarvegen. So again, notice, what's the classic Talmudic example? I'm distorting a mitzvah that already exists. Right? Much more Ravid-like. This is a huge chiddush of the Rambam. Yeah?
If you were to give, for example, 30% Zarvegen, is that Baal Tosef, Baal Tekra, or neither?
No, again, but I would say, guys, it's much more like my Sukkah example. I think none of those could be Baal Tosef, right? Anytime there's a shear that's a minimum, By definition, you can't have baltosif. What are you saying? Giving stock is a good thing. And let's say the second one, you're supposed to give 10%. But no one ever said that 10% is the solitary definition of tzedakah. That's a nice minimum. You want to give 15%, that's even better. There's no reason in the world that should be baltosif.
Yeah.
Okay, there might be a maximum. But again, but I think the maximum is not about baltosif. The maximum is about Chazal being nervous that people will not be able to support themselves. I think it's not part of the definition of tzedakah. It's not that, like, if you give 80%, it's not tzedakah anymore. It's still tzedakah. It just might be a bad idea. Okay, yeah.
Rav says about the statement, right? So the statement that you make. What about if it's a statement that you make? What about if it's the mindset you have? Not statement, it's the mindset.
Okay, hold off till we get to the end. Now, I want to save another answer for the Rambam until the end, but let's just see the third model for 1 second. So we can go back to the Ramban. Dov Renner, how's it doing in the corner there? Yeah? Is it easier to be part of Shirkoli when you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt? No, it doesn't make any impact. Okay. But you're more likely to be featured now, though, in the Yeshiva publications. Okay, so let's go to source three, you guys. Let's see what we have in the Ramban. Okay? Lo Tosifu, how does he start? Kagon Chamish Parshur Betfilin, Chamish Shamin and Belulav, Chamish Tzitzot, Bechein Tigru, Lush and Rashi. Again, where's Rashi, guys? Smacking the right model. It's about changing the mitzvah already on the table. This was, I think, David Bentor's model. Another way to extend the mitzvah is not I add another item right now, but I extend it in chronology. What if I declare on the eighth day of Sukkot, I should also sit in Sukkot, right, in Israel. Right? That would be also about Tosif. Here comes the best guys. This got to be a type weird. I wonder what this is. Probably Shezeh. I don't know. Shezeh over Balav Hazeh. Notice he just said, V'lefi dati, afilu bada lasot mitzvah b'fnei atzma, kegon sh'asah chag b'chodesh shabbat melibo. So the Ramban is the first person who says, making up a mitzvah itself is Baal Tosif. He's got a great example. Who did this? Who remembers the story? This is one of my favorite things. Because I always like this interesting intersection of different systems. And unfortunately, I've always said, religion is, well, not unfortunately, but religion is a very powerful force in the world. So unfortunately, cynics will often try to manipulate and take advantage of it. And politicians all over the world will try to use religion for their forces. So I always say, the second example in all of Tanakh is Yeravam. Again, let's little Tanakh, guys. Rechavam and Yeravam split the kingdom. How many tribes does Yeravam have? Oh, he's got a huge example. Huge advantage. Right, not even close. Let's say, for the sake of arguments, 10-2. Right, Yeravam's got all the cards on the table. But Yeravam is in a panic. Tanakh Eisenberg, why is Yeravam in a panic? Excellent. Maybe it's not how many cards you have, but who has the right cards. The next time a chag comes around, Yeravam says, I know what's going to happen now. Everybody in my government, in my kingdom, is going to want to go to Yerushalayim. And lo and behold, Rechavam will resume power. Right, he's got the Beit HaMikdash. That's the important card to play. See, Yeravam is no idiot. What does he do? He makes a rival place of service. Right, remember one in the south, one in the north, two Egel Hazavs. So here we can worship, we can have a grand religious ritual right here. So Yeravam is a great example of kind of the manipulation of religion to serve his political ends. But now, according to Ramban, not only was Yeravam manipulating religion, what was he actually doing? He was violating Baal Tosif. They over Balav. The Kach Amru, listen where this comes up, this is very interesting. What do we say about Megillah on Purim? I think a lot of you guys learned this Gemara. Mea v'shmonu neviyam amdulam Yisrael, the 180 prophets, v'lo pachtu, v'lo sifu mashakat v'torah, v'lo orachat. It's not a Navi's job to change halacha, so they didn't add to halacha, they didn't subtract. Chutz mi mikra megillah. That's the one thing. The Purim mitzvot was the one mitzvah neviyam added. But notice how bothered he is by this. What is the word then going to say? My darish. Guys, what's the question, my darish? What would that question be? My darish. What drasha did they have that enabled it? But that fits great to the Ramban. Because what's the Ramban saying? The only way they were able to be mitake and mikra megillah is because they had some kind of drasha that could serve as the source for this takana. We're good? So that's just an interesting Ramban to find a link. It's not my main topic here, but the Ramban thinks it is Baal Tosif to make a bin mitzvah. He thinks Yeravam violated Baal Tosif. And his example, the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara needs a drasha to justify Mikra Megillah. David Lorand, did you pick up a Hebrew word yet today? What does it mean when your business is running a Giraon? Were you here at the beginning of Shir? What did you say? Good. Yeah. Eitan Gokumar, do you help him? It's okay. Helping's good. Okay. How, what do you mean you helped him a little bit? Like, how could that be? You said, like, finish the word, defo. What happened? Okay. Okay, yeah.
Isn't this in essence just...
Look, okay, it's a great question, Zach. You have to get how the drusha works. Okay? What kind of drusha is it? It's a great question, but I'll leave it aside for now. Effie?
Is this the same by Hanukkah?
Okay, that's a great question. Okay, guys, it's a really interesting topic, which unfortunately we're not going to be able to cover every angle. But Effie's right. If we accept the Ramban's model, does that mean we need a different drusha for Hanukkah? You know, Effie, I hope we'll get it. We're going to sneak into Achronim. I think we're going to deal with your question, actually, because the Minchas Chinuch deals with your question. Okay. Josh Shapiro. Why?
No.
What if they just tell everybody it's a Durban?
Yeah, that's what actually this
is. Why can't they package it honestly? Let's go with Effie's Hanukkah case. Right. We love Hanukkah, it's a great historical event, and we rabbis made a rabbinic holiday. It doesn't have the status of a biblical holiday. No, I thought you were saying that the Ramban's Baal Tosef should be Baal Tosef for Rambam also.
Ramban's Baal Tosef should be Baal Tosef for the Rambam.
But why? Why can't we package it accurately? What do you say about Gzeirot? As long as we don't pretend the Gzeirot is Doraita, we're okay. Why can't we make a mitzvah and not pretend the mitzvah is Doraita? Right? Okay, very brief, guys, and we get to two achronim. Okay, get ready to the page, guys. It's going to be a great Arsameach and a great Minchas Chinuch. It'll be a good end to Shir Kol. Okay, what do we have so far, guys? Three models of Baal Tosef. And I could make more, but I think it's simplest three. What's the most basic model in Chazal? I take a mitzvah that exists, and I distort it. What's the simplest way of doing that? I add an object. A mitzvah has a bunch of objects, and I add an additional object. Okay, that's probably why the Ravid says, where do we tend to find Baal Tosef? Mitzvah Aseh. Okay, so that would be one model. I distort a pre-existing mitzvah. Model two is the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? I don't have to attack a pre-existing mitzvah. I could just make up a totally new mitzvah. That could also be Baal Tosef. I'm adding to the 613 mitzvot. I'm making a 614. He thinks that's what Yerovam did. He thinks that's why they needed some special heter to make Rick Megillah. Okay, so that's model two, Josh. What's model three? Well, model three really gets to David Ben-Tor's point. What about all rabbinic zero? So if you're not Rambam, you might just say, I don't care. The Torah gave the right to rabbis to make zero. By definition, it is not Baal Tosef. It's simply a rabbinic privilege, rabbinic right. However, the Rambam doesn't think so. The Rambam thinks there's a very strong concern with educational honesty. If we package the Deraita, if we take the Rabbanan and package the Deraita, that itself is Baal Tosef. Okay? But if we package it honestly, it's not a problem.
So at the end of the day, it was the Rambam saying, he's saying this is the
Deraita.
You can come to...
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, you're right. But let's say your Rambam is a bit more honest. Let's say Rome said, this just in, emergency rabbinic takana, we now don't go to the Midrash, we celebrate by going to an Egel Azav in the Dun area. Right? But as long as he packages the rabbinic enactment, it wouldn't be Baal Tosef.
That's only according to Rambam.
Yeah, according to Rambam.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm trying to explain to Josh, why Rambam might not think that Yeravim was violating Baal Tosef. Okay? Yeah.
If anything, couldn't that be a manifestation of the Baal figure? Because by giving this alternative, he's allowing them to not...
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that was...
We didn't answer a question from before about if Jerobana, if you could be Baal Tosef or a figure on Jerobana.
I mean, David Edwards' question.
For the Mitzvah of Hanukkah, or Mitzvah of the beginning, that are Jerobana, the Mitzvah that are Jerobana.
We're coming back to it. What Effie asked, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam Clark, what are you going to say? Okay, great, guys. Let's go to two last achronim, the Or Sameach and the Minchas Chinuch. Now, what was lurking, guys, what was the big problem with Rambam? The big problem was the concept of Asmachta. What is the Simcha Melina Kesem Mishnah approach? Great news, the rabbis will simply explain to you every time it's Asmachta. There will be no false advertising whatsoever. Okay, let us go to the Or Sameach. Hasagato Atsuma. He thinks derived its criticism. This is a great word to know, guys. What's something Atsum? It is powerful. It is huge. Joey Kaplan, you're about to be very happy. Ready? Sometimes there's a drasha. The Rabbanu of course machta ba'alma. The yesh makom nisher nishar machloket ben amorami mikra yalav musmachta. That's exactly your point. What do we find in rabbinic literature? Debates about what something's in a smachta. That's bad for Rabbam. Because if there's a debate about whether something's in a smachta, what's pretty clear? The rabbis did not clarify every time that it was in a smachta. Ever got that? So Joey Kaplan says, that was a really nice answer, Kesem Mishnah, but it doesn't work. It's not always that there's abundant clarity that it's in a smachta. Okay, so let's see what his answer is, guys. You're going to love this answer. Okay, so he says, I'm at the end of the fourth line, Vizet Tmi Atzuma, Amnum Nirli Derabenu Latami Azo. This is Rambam Lashitaso. Didav, now this is a very thing. Those who like halachic creativity, you're going to love this. Where's Noah Reisen today? He would love this. He's sick. Okay, poor guy. Okay. Didavar Hanilmad. I might as well put down some more guys. Josh Shapiro, where's Jeremy Linfield? What? I was going to pick on Yoni Kurtz, but what can you do? Okay. Sammy Kletzik, you're like the pillar of stability. You could always count on you there, Sammy. Okay. What? Yeah, he's afraid. He's afraid this is going to be on the final. Yeah. Okay, here we go. It's always those nervous guys who can't miss a class. Okay. So, let's see what we have here. Right. Okay, so he says, let's say I learn a halacha from a gzeira shava. Do you ever hear this term, guys? Mikri etzlo divrei sofrim. What does the Rambam call it? You ever seen this before? Now, divrei sofrim is interesting because it's somehow its own category. You could have deraita, you could have derabanan. Something derived from yigimu midot is divrei sofrim. So in what way is it like deraita? What way is it like derabanan? Let's keep reading. Afki havi l'chol davar min haTorah. It's deraita. V'soklin v'sofrin. So let's say, how do I know, guys, that I'm supposed to, there's a special mitzvah to eat in the sukkah on sukkah's night. And remember where that comes from? Well, very good. Gzeir shavah from matzah. But that is a mitzvah deraita, not a derabanan, even though it's yigimu midot. Okay, but let's keep reading. This combines last year's Masechah with next year's Masechah. Very exciting. It could be Kiddushei Kesef is learned after Yigil Midot, but that doesn't make Kiddushei Kesef the Rabbanan. Kiddushei Kesef is still the Raita. Ah. But what's the significance of this category, Divrei Sofrim? So here comes the great part. V'lchein Beitin HaKatan Yechol Levatel K'bohorato Ki Beitin HaGadol To B'darki V'limudei HaDrashot Yigil Midot. Ah. That is great. What's the difference between Divrei Sofrim and Deraita? A later court can overturn. Because once it's a matter of interpretation, maybe it's not the best interpretation. So let's say someone gets up and says, there's no prohibition called lo tignov in the Torah. No later court could do that. That's not a matter of interpretation. The Torah simply says, don't steal. So there's no option for overturning that. But something learned out from a Gezeira Shava has the option of being overturned. Okay, we're all good so far, guys? Okay. But once you say that, now comes the most clever part. Now, it's true, we don't do that today anymore, but, you know, we've lost some of the stature of our courts, but please God, I think it would actually be the ideal system. We would have the ability to do that, right? If we feel a need to, like, overturn a previous decision for whatever reason, we would have the ability in some theoretical universe. So now, let's skip to the Kivin Shekein. This is really clever. Kivin Shekeinu, Davkim Yubibetin, Shezed Dover Lamad Mi Ikri Limudi HaTorah. This is a brilliant shot. What's he saying, guys? When am I mosif? It's not just that when I package it as a deraita, as opposed to packaging it divrei sofrim. What if a lot of esmachtos involve drusho, involve yigimu midot drusho? So even if it looks like it's deraita, it is deraita in that certain sense, but it's a deraita that's not locked in. So as long as I'm not locking it in, I'm not treating this derabanan really in the fullest sense. Very good, right? As a deraita. And therefore it's not bal tosif. Bal tosif is you take the basic bedrock of Torah and put something else in there. You take the part of Torah that's unchangeable, that's eternal, and you sneak something in there. That is bal tosif. If I pretend it's a gzeira shava, that's not bal tosif, because even though we'll treat a gzeira shava as a deraita, we don't treat a gzeira shava as being locked in. A gzeira shava, in theory, could be overturned. Says the our sameach. That's why it's not bal tosif. I think this is a better answer. Again, just to sum up, before we get to the minchas chinuch, we have now two answers to the esmachta problem. either the Kesem Mishnah answer, that will just be educationally clear every time. We'll explain to everybody all the time that it's a Mesmachta. And Joey and Arsmeach thinks we don't really do that. It doesn't work. And Arsmeach's own answer, which is, it's only a certain kind of Deraita that would be false packaging. When we make it the bedrock, unchanging Deraita is Baal Tosif. But not to make it a Yudimumidor kind of Deraita. Yeah, Josh.
When the Gemara, King Narabana made a Zera that's not able to change.
Okay, so I'll tell you, if you guys want really fast thing halacha that I'm not going to deal with right now, the Rambam has one series of halacha that most people are not aware of. If you go to the end of Mishnah Torah, there's a sefer called, there's a halachic section called Hilchot Mamrim. And ever open Hilchot Mamrim?
Yeah.
Sammy, why you open Hilchot Mamrim?
I'm doing it.
Ah, there you go. You are a serious guy, Sammy. Still not as serious as your first cousin, but you're a serious guy. Okay, so what? Okay, so if you want to look at... I don't know who your first cousin is now. Okay. Hey, Chaim Stanton. His first cousin's American. Okay. Okay, so, and she finished Tanakh this year. Okay. And we all know that, you know, the great thing about confident men is they can deal with it if their girlfriend knows more than they do. They can deal with it. Okay, so, okay. Okay, so, in any case, wait, now I got distracted. What was I doing? So Hilchot Mamrim is about the nature of rabbinic authority. So those of you, I think it's a pretty classical right to conversation, how rabbinic authority works, how rabbinic legislation works. So I'd highly recommend going through Hilchot Mamrim to answer your question, Josh. Like, are there gzeirot that are locked in? What's easiest to overturn? What's the method of overturning? So the first two or three chapters of Hilchot Mamrim, that's the place to go. Yeah, David.
I'm just wondering,
Interesting. I'm not sure.
The
only thing is, I wouldn't. There, it's more like the philosophical core versus things that. It's similar. It's interesting. I'm not sure I would make an exact analogy. Because here, it's totally a function of how it's derived. Right? I'm not sure where I should plug that into Rambam. It's very intriguing what you said, David. But I'll give you an example, guys. I'll give you a simple example, David. Here, Brit Milah. Let's take the following case. That you should have a Brit Milah. Is that the core or Divrei Sofer? That's the core. That Brit Milah overrides Shabbat. Because, does it say it in the Torah anywhere? No, but it's a drasha. B'yom hashmini yimol b'sar l'tov. What do you derive from B'yom hashmini? Even if it's Shabbat. But I think for Rambam, I might have to ask a philosophical question. Does that reflect on the very essence of Milah? If I am the Meshech Chachma over here, I don't have to ask a philosophical question. I simply have to ask myself, was it derived in a straightforward fashion? Or was it derived from some kind of drasha? Right, so I wouldn't conflate the two. Okay, last thing of the day, guys. Let us go to the Minchat Chinuch, and it really is Effie's question. So Effie asks, wait, if the Ramban's right, maybe they needed a drasha for Chanukah also. And there's no Gemara that I know of where they make a drasha to justify Chanukah. So let's look at Minchat Chinuch. Okay, so it says the Minchat Chinuch in the second paragraph. It's pretty reasonable. V'nei kama mitzvot shosif chazal. What about all these other mitzvot? Kagon ner Chanukah, v'netil yadayim, v'chadoma, shehem dvarim chadashim, v'lo hosif mitzvot Torah. So look what he says now, guys. I think it's more reasonable than the Ramban. Nere devadai lo shayach bal tosif, ki ha-Torah nitna reshut l'chachamim l'takin takanot. Torah simply gave them jurisdiction. But let's keep reading, guys, because it's deeper than that. It's not the mere fact that Torah gave them jurisdiction. Here we go. Is that Bernstein? How did you misspell Shir Kol today?
I was meeting
with Rav Noam. He's not a serious guy. Okay. Nosip mitzvah Torah. And now he does something great. I've always wondered about this, guys, because the chinuch was more philosophical. He gave reasons for mitzvot. The minchas chinuch was like a super like halachic yeshiva guy. He was not so interested in reasons for mitzvot. So I'm collecting over time, how many times does he actually relate to the reason that the chinuch gave? Okay, if you ever find one, guys, email it to me. I'm collecting examples of this. It's not so easy. You know, it's a long work. So he says here, v'gam l'fi atam shel harav ha-mechaber, I'm going to make a diuk from the chinuch's reason. What's the diuk? What would be one theological way to approach Baal Tosif? Baal Tosif is like you're critiquing God. You're critiquing the Torah. Oh, that's a nice mitzvah to God, but it's missing a little something. If you added a tangerine, then the Arba Minah would be much better. Right, so we don't want you to critique the mitzvos. Ah. V'zeh shayech b'mitzvot shetzivaz. V'uti debrak tzivah b'vadayim b'takler shlimot. Avamash shelo tzivaz. What wasn't commanded? V'nitchadesh akakach achsibot. Shechazal iskimu taken ku ner chanukah. Ayodei nisim b'yimei vanim. So he makes an obvious point here, guys. You could say that if I have tangerines on Arminim, I'm implicitly critiquing the mitzvah of Arminim. Why is that not true when I make a mitzvah called Chanukah? It's not an implicit critique. Am I implicitly critiquing the Torah because we didn't have Chanukah way back from Sinai? Of course not, because it didn't happen yet. So if I make a mitzvah that's a response to a historical event, there's no reason in the world that should be Baal Tosif. So just to sum up, guys, we had an interesting debate how to solve the Rambam between the Kesef Mishnah and the Or Simeach. Now the interesting debate about making Chagim. The Ramban seems to think that making Chagim is a problem, and we'll need some kind of drasha to justify making Chagim. It'll be interesting to see how the Ramban would deal with Hanukkah. But I think the Minchas Chinuch is quite reasonable, and I like the fact that he builds on the rationale. If Baal Tosef is about not critiquing the Torah, so Ner Hanukkah is in no way a critique of the Torah. Something new occurred. We felt the need to celebrate that. There's not an implicit critique in the slightest. Notice by Minchas Chinuch, big enough for you guys, you would not need a drasha to justify the institution of Chanukah. Yeah, last questions.
So would the Ramban not have a pretty big problem with the end of the Ravid saying, looking inside the Surah Mosif, 11 minutes?
Yeah, the Ramban wouldn't agree. Correct. Correct, the Ramban would not agree. Because it could be, if I talked about three categories, Zaki made a good point. It could be when, if you take the Ravid's language seriously, he only has one category. He does not have three. Which means he doesn't have the Rambam's category, and he also doesn't have the Ramban's category. I agree with you.
But do we agree?
Oh, what are we paskin? That's a good question. Okay, but the Ramban, I think, would have at least two categories. Yeah, Aaron.
What would the Mitzvah say about...
I mean, why did they need a drasha? He'd have to... You're right. He would have to say the drasha was doing some other work over there. It wasn't to overcome Baal Tosif, which I think is doable. You really have to look up that Gemara. But you could, the fact that, put it this way, the Gemara did want a drasha. It doesn't say we need this drasha to overcome Baal Tosif. So I don't think it's impossible to find some other reason why we wanted a drasha. Yeah. In fact, maybe we wanted a drasha because it was in the smachta. Yeah. Meaning, where does the false advertising manifest?
I think, is it the creation and the creation, or just the...
That's a good question. Well, wait, just understand. You couldn't have the presentation. Meaning, what if we didn't make Xer and just presented it? It probably is not Baal Tosif, right? Ah. I mean, you see, it's like on a collective level, it's hard to like point the finger when it happens. Now, that's interesting. I don't know the answer exactly. You're right. I mean, both the point of Ramban and Ravid, it's kind of easy to point where Baal Tosif is. In the Rambam, it's almost more like a process. So it's a little harder to point out, here is the act of... Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Anybody else with a closing question? All right, guys, it's been very enjoyable learning Shir Klal with you all year, and everybody should have a great summer.